Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message. Hope everybody's doing okay and ready for a sermon, a preach today. I only preached about 3 weeks ago, I think, and I've had a bit of a change in personal circumstances since then, which I thought I would share. One has happened, one is imminently about to happen. So one is that I'm now married to a doctor. Yeah, who is it? Yeah, I have not. Mark's like, who is it? No. Mark has, after 5 years, passed his PhD, so he is now a doctor of philosophy. I had to ask that. I know he's a doctor, I'm not quite sure, of a doctor of philosophy. So that's one change that's happened. And then I was just thinking, as Dorcas was talking then about how old her children are, and Sarah said about, you know, the times that are coming. And in about 6 weeks, I will be a parent who no longer has children in primary school. That feels a big deal. That is a big deal. My baby is going up to secondary school. So pray for us, please. Two children heading into puberty and teenagers together. It's all good fun. I wonder how many of you in the room today ever went to Sunday school or kids' church or some form of, wow, look at these hands around the room. Some of you might have been dragged there. In my previous job with Safe, a charity called Safe Families, we would recruit volunteers to help struggling families. And part of my job was to go and have a one-to-one conversation with potential volunteers. And the number of people who said, oh, I was dragged to Sunday school when I was younger. You know, my parents just wanted a couple of hours to themselves. They used to just drop them off at church, go and do what they had to do and pick them up. But in Sunday school, and as will happen in our own NLK, I don't doubt, we tend to tell our children a lot of the stories from the Bible. Stories like Noah and the Ark and the animals going in two by two, hurrah, hurrah, if you know the song. Stories like David and Goliath, and I remember in Sunday school, we would act out the stories. You used to love it, and you'd have you'd pick the biggest child to be Goliath, and they'd stand there, and you'd pick the puniest little child, and they'd have to get the stones, and they'd whack it, and Goliath would fall. And anybody else act out the stories? Oh, not so. Oh, I've got a few nods. Thanks, Andrew. I felt a little bit alone there, so I'm glad you put your hand up. Or even the birth of Jesus. Now, this is one of Mark's bugbears with Christmas and the Nativity, when we act it out and the kings are there and there wasn't three and all of that jazz. But we kind of, the stories can be the things that we teach children. Shh. He does like the Nativity. He just has some issues with how we read it. Sorry. Stop now. You're throwing me off this front. This front row are a bad influence, honestly. Next week, can we have a new front row? I'd quite like that, honestly. The Good Samaritan always is one of my favourites, because if you were the one who get chosen to be the robbers who would beat the man up, that was always a great thing as a kid. Like, yeah, I'm going to throw some punches. However, sometimes with those stories, and this is not to kind of speak against Sunday schools and kids' church, not at all, but sometimes with those stories, when we teach them just as a nice story, we sometimes miss the truth that is contained within them. And I want to talk this morning about one of the classic stories that are in the Bible, and that is of the wise man and the foolish man. And there are several songs that go with this. You know, the rains came down and the floods went whoosh. Okay. Dying a death a little bit. But the wise man and the foolish man, hopefully you all know that story. But if not, I'm going to turn to it in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. And this is what it says. This is Jesus talking. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Let's just pray before we get into it. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the people who are here today. And Lord, above everything, we want to hear you speak today. So I pray that you'll take the words that I've prepared and that Holy Spirit, you will allow them to land in our hearts as we need to hear them today. Help us to have ears to hear you and hearts that are soft and ready to receive your word. In your name I ask this. Amen. So just to give a little bit of context, this story doesn't just sit in isolation where it is in the book of Matthew, but it actually comes on the back of three chapters previously that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And that was a time when Jesus had gone up in the mountainside and had taught anybody who's there who was listening. And his teaching had been pretty radical. It wasn't like what the people had been used to hearing from their experts in religious law. One of the things that Jesus taught was the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He taught people that we're there to be salt and light, to let their good deeds shine out so that people can see God in you. It was teaching that was very different. He taught about anger and divorce and laws and revenge and loving our enemies. He said, you know, you've heard it that, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I teach you, love your enemies. This was what they'd known. Jesus taught something very different. And I think sometimes we can read that and be like, okay, we get that. But this was radical. For the people of the day, this was totally different to how they'd been brought up and what they believed. And now here's this man teaching them completely different, teaching them about not judging others, about giving to the poor and needy. It says in verse 28, they were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority. And so on the back of all of that, that we have contained in three chapters, we get this story of the wise man and the foolish man. And the point Jesus is making is, listen, you've just sat and listened for three chapters worth of teaching. He didn't say that because we've now put it in chapters, but you know, you've listened to all of what I've got to say. It's not enough to just hear it. You actually have to do something with it. It's not enough to think, oh, that was radical teaching. He teaches with real authority. It's not enough because if you just hear and do nothing with it, it's like you're the foolish man building a house on sand. And when the storms of life come and when the rains come, it will collapse. But if you hear what I've said, if you've heard my teaching and you build your life on it, you obey my teaching, you follow my teaching, then it is like you're building your house on a solid foundation. Because when the storms of life come, and they will, your house will stand. We call it, certainly growing up in Sunday school, the wise and the foolish man, but actually in a lot of Bibles, the kind of the little subheading above this is building on a solid foundation. And I love when Jesus tells his stories, how he used everyday examples that people would understand. So we hear a lot about farmers and sheep because that was what their community, the landscape at that time, people understood that. If Jesus was here today, his parables would probably pick very different things that are more applicable to us. But what would have been usual in that, I've been doing a little bit of research into the kind of what the countryside, the actual physical landscape would have been like in the Galilean countryside. And it was hilly. And what was quite usual was in the winter, rivers would kind of flow down the mountains and would just wash anything that was in its path, would wash away. And often the rivers would overflow their banks. And when they overflowed their banks, what they then left was deposits of sand and earth all along down the side of kind of this river tract that was coming down the mountains. Then you would get to summer, and that water would dry up, but what you were left with was an empty riverbed covered with sand and stone, and then like these deposits of sand and earth all the way down. Now, if you were a local person, you would know, well, don't go and build your house on what looks seemingly level and plain, because we know that come winter, the river's going to fill up again and wash it away. But maybe if you were a stranger moving into that area, you might think, do you know what, I can't really be bothered building fully on the rock. This looks like a very level, very good surface. I might just build on here. And I wonder how many of the local people had ever seen people do that, build a house on what looked like solid ground, live in the dream, living in the house all summer, and then come winter when the rains come and it washes it away. The importance of building on a solid foundation would not have been lost on Jesus' listeners. And the point Jesus is making is that it matters what you build your life on. We all build our lives on something, and what we build on determines the stability of our lives. So my question today, very simply, is what are you building on? What are you building on? Now, I know straight away, understandably, some people be like, well, Dean, I've been a Christian like a gazillion years, heard this story. We know it's not about just hearing, it's about doing. But I just pray today that there'll be something that maybe just challenges you, because sometimes we can assume what we're building on, but actually we just need a bit of a, am I still actually building on Jesus and on his word? One of the things I think we can sometimes build our lives on is reputation. Have any of you seen the film Matilda? Or it's come out as a musical now. I won't give the kind of game away, but there's girl Matilda, and she gets sent to this school where the headmistress is this horrible woman called Miss Trunchbull. I mean, even the name kind of puts fear in you. And even before Matilda has met Miss Trunchbull, Miss Trunchbull's reputation as being this cantankerous, this fear-inducing, this scary woman, the reputation of Miss Trunchbull kind of goes before her. And kids are nervous about meeting her before they've even met her. Why is that? Because of reputation. She has a reputation, and people know that even before they've met her. And her, Miss Trunchbull's confidence and her kind of, I guess what gives her the confidence is because, well, this is what people know about me, and this is the kind of the person that I am. In Jesus' day, there were religious leaders, and they were known as the lawmakers, the rule makers of the day. And actually, they carried a bit of weight in their community because people knew that what they said, you had to follow. And even though they, in some senses, did the best that they could, in some senses, the reputation of the Pharisees and the other religious leaders almost gave them that clout, that sway over people, and their reputation was well known. And some of that confidence for them came not out of a loving relationship with God necessarily, but about of who we are. We are the Pharisees. We are the religious leaders. And I wonder for you, if you have a reputation, maybe within your community, maybe at work, maybe as a CEO or something like that, and there's something about that reputation that gives you some confidence, it gives you some security. Well, because of who I am, because people know who I am, that gives me a bit of safety and a bit of security and a bit of stability. But reputation alone is not enough to build your life upon. As we see in the media, in a moment, a reputation can be destroyed. It's not a strong enough foundation. Another thing that we can sometimes build our lives on are relationships. Whatever friendship, marriage, whatever that might be. Now, hear me, relationships are good. God created us to live in relationship with one another. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, when God is creating this beautiful world, and after everything he made, it says God saw and it was good. It was good. And then into that world, God creates Adam, and just this human is created with the breath of God. But then, for the very first time, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so Eve was created. So we're created to be in community. We see in the Trinity, God the Father, Son, Spirit. Community relationship is important. Ecclesiastes speaks of two being better than one, because we can protect and help one another. Relationships matter. However, relationships are not a strong enough foundation to build our lives on. Because firstly, that's a lot of pressure on one person. If that's your kind of go-to person for everything, and you know, if they disappear, oh my goodness, what's going to happen in life? But actually, it's people let us down. And if our whole existence and our whole safety and security is built on people, we're going to get let down at one point or another. It's not a strong enough foundation. Material wealth. There is nothing wrong with being financially secure. There's nothing wrong with having riches. Lord, more. More, Lord, would be great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is not a secure foundation. Because again, in a moment, finance and wealth can go. You know, how many stories do we hear of people who've got into debt or into kind of some kind of difficulty? You used to have a lot. In the Sermon on the Mount we talked about, Jesus says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So it's not wrong to have money, but it's not a secure enough foundation to build your life on. Because sometimes when the storms of life come, that is not the thing that's going to sustain you through that. Another thing, and I've seen this so often during my leadership journey, of people who build their lives on church and not on Jesus. We love church, and don't get me wrong, I love church. We love the experience, we love the community, we love the garden parties, we love our small group, we love all of that. But actually, church isn't a strong foundation to build on, because Jesus never asked us to build on the church. And sometimes what happens is, when we've only bought into church, when storms come and the real difficult things of life come, church is not a strong enough foundation, because again, we're imperfect people. We let each other down. We say things wrong. We do things wrong. As followers of Jesus, church should be an integral part of who we are. Absolutely, we should gather together, but that alone is not enough to be a foundation that we can build on. And as great as New Life is, we won't be what sustains you through the tough times. As great as your small group is, it won't be what it will help you and should support you, but it won't be enough to sustain you, because friends, the only one worth building your life on is Jesus. The only one strong enough, the only one to be that firm foundation is Jesus. And we need to choose to build our lives on him because he is immovable. We need to choose to build our lives on him because he's the only one who can sustain us. He's the only one who, when those really dark and difficult days come, it's Jesus who will sustain us. And so, why build our lives on him? Because he is the only one to have faced the worst of storms, i.e. death, and come through victorious. Therefore, he has proven himself to be a sure and solid foundation on which we can build our lives. He is the only one to have faced the worst storm that we could ever face, being death. And he is the only one who has come through victorious. Therefore, he is the one that we can put our trust in. He is the one who was there at the beginning of time. He has the words of eternal life. He's the one who knows us best and yet still loves us most. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He deals with our past. He's with us in our present. He holds our future. He is the one worth building our lives on. He is the visible image of an invisible God. And if we want a secure foundation, if we liken our lives to the house that the wise man built and the foolish man built, if you want your house to still be standing, yes, it might be a little bit battered and bruised, but if you want your house to still be standing, you've got to build on Jesus. So what does that look like? Because I believe to build on our lives on Jesus is simple, but it's not always easy. It's simple, but not always easy. It's a matter of faith. Actually, do you know, I believe that this man who lived 2,000 years ago, this man who came and said, I'm the Son of God, this man who came and taught and performed miracles, this man who the Bible says died and yet defeated death and rose again. It's a matter of faith to say, I believe that that man, that what he said is true, that how he lived is the right way to live, and that actually following him, I choose to believe that following him, building my life on him, not only gives me the fullest and most profound life now, but gives me an eternal hope, gives me a future that I can look forward to. Building our lives on Jesus means finding out what he thinks of things. What are his values? Sarah's just mentioned it. What would Jesus do? If Jesus were in this situation, what would he do? What are his priorities? And making them our own. Living as he lived. Loving as he loved. Obeying his teachings. So when it says forgiving others, I'm like, oh, that's really hard. It is. But that's what we're aiming for. When it says about giving and giving generously, oh, that's hard. But that's what Jesus would do. That's what it looks like to build our lives on him. Okay, Jesus, what did you say? What did you believe? How did you live? And I now want to do the same. It means believing by faith that he is who he says he is. And then continuing every day, Jesus, I want to follow you today. Help me to do it better than I did yesterday. Help me to love you more. Help me to live like you more. When we did, some of us, earlier this year in our small groups, we looked specifically at prayer and the practice of prayer. And in some of the content that we have, it gave you some suggested prayers that you could pray. Because I know sometimes as Penties, we like, you know, it's just all free and flowing. But actually, pre-written prayers can be really, really quite helpful and profound. And there's one bit of a prayer. I can't remember it all. It was a beautiful prayer. But this one bit that has just kind of stuck with me, and I pray every day. Jesus, may my words... Sorry, I'm getting emotional. Sorry. Jesus, may my words be as your words. May my steps be as your steps. But most importantly, may my heart be as your heart. Because I've questioned as I've been preparing this just this last couple of days. Okay, what am I building on? Because I think it's Jesus. Jesus, I think it's you. But I wouldn't want to get caught in there, but it's just church actually that I'm building on. And the more I was thinking and I guess reflecting on my heart, that is my prayer. That Jesus, I want when I speak, that it will be as you speak, that my steps will take me in the way that you will take me, but Jesus, that my heart will be as your heart. As I said, it's simple, but not always easy. I read a quote this week from a commentator, and I can't remember, I read a lot, and I'm really sorry because I didn't make a note of who said it, but somebody famous said, "We pretend in vain to build on him if we do not obey his doctrine and make it the rule of our whole conduct. We pretend in vain to build on Jesus if we do not obey his doctrine and make it the rule of our whole conduct." Building our lives on Jesus means that even in our toughest days, we don't walk away. A friend of mine has a great quote. She says, it's choosing on your worst day who you're going to be on your best. Choosing on your best day, sorry, who you're going to be on your worst day. It means we still choose to praise even in pain. We still choose to worship despite our circumstances. We still choose to bring ourselves to the house of God. It means we still choose to cling on to his truth and his word even when it's difficult and everything seems to be falling apart. Two things I've learned. Storms of life come to everyone. And many, all of us probably in this room could, if we were to give in a microphone, tell us some of the storms you've been through. You could sit and list them. They come to us all. Some are more severe than others, but we all face storms. And so therefore, it matters what we build on. Because if you know the storm's going to come, you've got to be prepared. What are we building on? So storms come to everyone. But the second thing I've learned is that the state of our circumstances doesn't have to dictate the state of our souls. That the state of what we're facing, chaos, pain, whatever that might be, doesn't have to dictate the state of our souls. Isaiah says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We can be in the most dire, difficult, dark, painful times, when humanly speaking, it just looks hopeless. But he keeps us in perfect peace because we've built our lives on him and because we trust him. And I know for many of you in the room today, you will know that's been my testimony. I have been in church a gazillion years, but I've built my life on Jesus and he's held me and he sustained me through the storms. And so my challenge, my encouragement to you today is just to have a reflect. What am I building my life on? Am I building on reputation? Am I hoping that's enough to carry me through what people think of me, that's enough? Am I building on relationships and relying on other people to sustain me and keep me in the going gets tough? Am I relying on my material wealth and the things that I own for those to be a strong enough foundation? Am I building just on church? Just on the feel-good factor of here? Or am I building my life on Jesus? I just wonder if we could bow our heads, and I'm just going to pray. Maybe the band can come up and be ready. If we want to be people who remain standing, and this is not just about when the storms come, this is not just all when the difficult times I need to be on Jesus, this is every day. We all build on something. We all have something that we rely on. But maybe just take a few minutes. Just pray, Holy Spirit, will you show me what I'm building my life on?
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.